Baptism scheduled, and you have three testimonies for membership, and we're just excited to hear what God has done in these individuals' lives, and we want to take the time to celebrate that today, because it is, the transformation of a human life is only possible with God. I mean, the world says, just accept people as they are, they're never going to change, you know, we're always, this is who we are. No, God says, you need to change, and I'm going to work in you and use my word and my spirit, and really today is just another testimony to that. So a lot of prayer has been answered in today's celebration, and we're praising God for that. All right, I want to take just a few moments before we have our candidates come and share their testimonies, just to talk about what is baptism, and something that often is maybe done or done quickly, and we don't always understand the reasons for that. And so I want to walk through that today. First off, what is three questions about baptism, and what is baptism? First off, baptism is the immersion of a believer in Jesus, or of Jesus in water. And so what do we mean by that? Think first about the word itself means to dip or plunge. So that's why we talk about baptism as immersion. Also, it means it was the prevailing practice throughout church history. And so we're following in the footsteps of those who've gone before us of what this was. In fact, my wife and I, when we were in Petra at the church there, we saw the baptismal font, which was deep, and it was intended to be a full immersion, you know, from very first century there. And you see examples of that throughout, you know, the Ethiopian eunuch, right? Then he gets baptized. There's much water. He goes down to the water, and he comes up from the water. You know, Jesus' baptism, right? He's much water coming up out of the water. So it also matches the picture of death, burial, resurrection, and new life. Of Romans 6:4, which says that they were buried with him in baptism and raised in newness of life to walk in newness of life, right? So what the only mode of baptism that really pictures that is going underwater and coming back out. And I think also the last part of that, we backed up there. The last part of that is the new life, right? That we don't emphasize enough sometimes, is if you truly are baptized, you're going to change. You're going to live differently, showing the change that has already taken place in your life. It's not washing away sin. It is instead showing what's already happened inside of you. Now, 1 Peter 3:21 talks about baptism saving you, but it's not the removal of filth of the flesh. It's the answer of a good conscience, meaning because you are doing this, you are obeying what Christ calls you, so you're not under sin anymore. So that's, in a sense, how that saves you there. So you have the pattern in the book of Acts. You read through the book of Acts. People are saved, and then they're baptized. That's the order. It's not baptized and saved. It's people that are they're trusting Christ, and then they follow him in believer's baptism. And this is why we would say, you know, babies can't do that, right? They don't believe. They don't have the capacity for that. This is for us as those who are old enough to believe and then follow him in this the example. So belief must precede baptism. And you'll hear today how each of these that trusted in Christ and now they want to follow Christ in believer's baptism. So what does baptism then picture? If that's what it is, what does it picture? It portrays vividly how when we our new life in Christ, right? That how we are trusting in Jesus' death and resurrection for our sin. That's the gospel, death and resurrection. Right? Jesus died for our sins and rose again. 1 Corinthians 15:1-8, and 1 Thessalonians 4:14 defines what the gospel is. Not the death, burial, and resurrection. It's the death and resurrection of Christ. Right? Burial just shows that he truly died, just like seeing the witnesses shows that he truly rose from the dead, right? And that's why I like the 1 Thessalonians 4:14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. That is the essence of the gospel. The facts that we must believe. Now what that all means is that you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins and rose again, and that he is God, right? And all of that means, and that he didn't stay dead because God accepted his sacrifice and brought him back from the dead, proving that that's the way of salvation, and that anyone who trusts in him can be saved, right? I mean, so the gospel, applying that to your life, there's a whole lot more detail to that. But the boil it down to the essence of the gospel, it is that Jesus died for sins and rose again. And if you believe that, you are saved. No more, no less, as Scripture says. But there's a whole lot more that goes with that. So when you're showing the gospel, when you go under the water, come out and live for him. So it's giving new life. So Romans 6:3-4, right? Do you not know that many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ? Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. That's what has happened to us the moment you trust in Christ. Water baptism shows that vividly in picture form. And I think this is why Christ gave this, and we were continuing to do this, even though it's a little weird, right? Gather, see somebody go underwater and come back out. And what does that all mean? And yet we still do this because Christ commanded us to do this. Go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Which leads us then to why do we baptize? We do not get baptized to save us from our sins or contribute to salvation in any way, right? This does not save us. In fact, Jesus said to the thief on the cross, who said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And what did Jesus respond? Today, you'll be with me in paradise. He didn't say, let's get down off the cross and get baptized. Make sure you get there. No. Belief is what saves you. And anytime you see baptism tied with belief, it's showing the belief. It's not contributing to the belief. God's word says in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So since baptism is something we do, it is not something we can do to contribute to our salvation. It is faith in God, by the grace of God. That is how we are saved. In Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. The washing of regeneration, right? It's the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So, we do this in order to obey Christ's command, as I referred to from Matthew 28:19, right? Baptizing them, there's a command sense that we must do this. It can't be spirit baptism because that's something that's done to us. As 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, by one spirit you're baptized all into one body. Right? So the moment you trust in Christ, you already are part baptized into the body of Christ. But to baptize into the local assembly, and we'll talk more about that, is following Christ's command. Then to declare publicly our faith in Christ, right? That I am a follower of him, that I am willing to take up my cross and follow him no matter what. And we sang about that already. Being willing to walk with him in that. And lastly, to join the local church, which is the local manifestation of his body, right? To be members in particular, as 1 Corinthians 12:27 says. That we would be a member of the local church, serving God, using our gifts, and living out as he calls us to, right? And you see that pattern in the book of Acts. They're saved, baptized, and added to the church. We'll talk a little more about in detail what that means. And we talk about membership here in a little bit. But, so what is baptism? It's the immersion of the believer in water. It is, what does it picture? It vividly shows that we are trusting in Christ, that we've died and are raised to new life. And why do we do it? because he commands it, and we want to publicly identify with him. And each of these candidates have come to us saying, we need to do this, and I'm willing to follow Christ in that. Remember, it doesn't save us, right? Doesn't contribute to our salvation in any way. Only faith in Christ will. And if you're here today and you have not done that, if you have not trusted in Jesus Christ, I would love to show you more. In fact, these candidates here today could tell you what God is in fact will in a few minutes, share what God has done in their life. And if you have trusted in Christ alone to save you from your sin, then praise God. Never forget that. It is so easy. Familiarity breeds contempt, right? We fall into just going through the motions. And that's why I try to, you know, explain what this is, why we're doing this. Not just tag it onto a service, but make it the focus, because this is vital. It's important. Yes, it doesn't save us, but it's obeying Christ, doing what he's called us to in every area. And if you're here today and you have not taken that next step of baptism that Christ commands, then as James 4:17, I would warn you, to him who knows to do good and doesn't do it, it's sin. And if you're not obeying the clear commands of Scripture, then I can tell you that God will be opposing you, not blessing in your life. And you're living in sin. And the best way to get out of living in sin is repent and get right with God and do what he calls you to do. And I'd love to help you with that as well. But if you have been baptized, then today should be a reminder of what God has done in your life and how he has taken you from a dirty, rotten sinner and transformed you into a saint. Not that you are perfect in every way. Not yet. That'll be heaven. But that you are in the process of being transformed to be like Jesus Christ as you learn and grow with him. All right. With that said, I'm going to invite the candidates to come give their testimonies, starting with Diana Hamer, and then Roger and Sharon Aldrich will come and share their testimonies. And we get to hear how God has changed and transformed them. So if you make your way up here, we'd love to hear, you know, and we are rooting for you, right? You know, this is, it can be a challenge to publicly give your testimony, but thank you for being willing to do that. Come share with us.
I started to go to church for healing power from God's word. Ken Tanner came to me to help me get closer to Jesus. I confessed my sins and was saved 8:7:24 by Romans 10:13. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I started to join Bible study, and I learned more about the Bible than what I thought I knew. I am wanting to continue to learn more. I always believed in God, but I didn't really know about him. I accept him as my Lord and Savior.
We've been praying for Diana the last couple of years. And just a couple weeks ago, she came to us saying, I need to get baptized. You know, seeing her, my father-in-law got and mother-in-law got to lead her to Christ, and just rejoiced at that. But now the willingness to follow him. And you get, if you talk to her, you hear more of her testimony. But we're just rejoicing at what God has done. And Danny's life got to do her husband's funeral a few years ago. And he had trusted Christ just before he passed away. And God's working through that as well. Now, even just she shared recently that her brother called her and said, I'm reading God's word now. Reading the Bible. You know, because of Lee's funeral. So. All right, Roger and Sharon, if you guys want to come and share your testimonies. Yep, you can come together. That'll be fine.
Hi, my name is Roger Aldrich. I grew up in Waterloo in a home that wasn't religious. I wasn't until I met my wife Sharon that I truly understood my need for Jesus. Before that, I was living for myself and struggling to understand the Bible on my own. However, without any spiritual guidance, I was not growing in God's Word, because my heart was empty and I kept chasing sin and seeking approval. My bad habits stayed with me, and eventually I went through a divorce. One of the many doors that opened before me and one I finally chose to enter. My first date was at my house for morning coffee with my future wife, Sharon. She was sizing up my small amount of faith and seeing something in me that needed nurturing. Where is she seeing that? I don't know. We talked a lot about God, Jesus, and faith. And I finally got the message God wanted me to hear. I asked Jesus to be my Savior, confessed my sins, and felt His peace and forgiveness. Since then, I've experienced a growing love for God, stronger desire to follow Him, freedom from my shameful, sinful past, and hope for the future. Baptism today is my public show of my faith in Jesus. I have a verse that speaks to me a little bit about this, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
Hi, I'm Sharon Aldrich. I grew up here in Dysart in a home where we went to church every Sunday. And when I was 13, I went through confirmation classes and was confirmed into the church with my friends. But the pastor had asked me if I understood about the gospel that he was sharing with me and if I was putting my life, my faith in Christ. And I lied and said yes, because I didn't want to be left behind from all the children that were getting confirmed. So 6 years went by of my teen years, and I made a lot of decisions and choices and sinful things that most kids do, and you know, it left me in a place where I started really hurting people with my sin. And when I was 19, a young man came to Hawkeye Tech and shared about his faith in Christ and how he'd been seeking truth. And I was trembling and crying through his whole lecture, because I saw that he had, whatever it was he had, it was what I needed. And what I needed so much was to be truly loved unconditionally. So he shared the gospel with me. I went to his place the next day to try and get more answers. And he tried to lead me in the salvation prayer. And I think he believed that I had accepted Christ that night. But he presented it to me as a free gift of God, that Christ died for our sins, and that he did it in our place so that we didn't have to pay the consequences. And I just couldn't get past that freeness of it, because I was always told you have to, that God helps those who help themselves. So I went home to a very miserable, guilty, and just terrible night full of sin. And I woke up the next morning and I just scrubbed myself off, and I'm like, something's got to change. And I went into the living room and I remembered that he'd shared with me 1 Corinthians 10:13 that says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with that temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. And I realized I was not alone in my struggles with sin in that verse. And I also saw in that verse that I needed Christ to help me make decisions that weren't sinful. And I kneeled on the floor by the couch and cried out to Christ to be my Lord, to guide me with my decisions and help me escape all the sin I struggled with. And for the past 51 years, He's been faithful to do that. I love being in a love relationship with my Lord, and I haven't always made perfect choices, but He's always been right there with me. 4 months after accepting Christ as my Lord and Savior, I was baptized at Calvary Baptist Church in Cedar Falls, and that was one of the most precious experiences of my life, and I look forward to Roger having that same experience today.
Amen. Praise God for what He is doing and has done. I have the privilege of knowing both Roger and Sharon. Roger, no, a lot of years ago in Lions Club, and I can testify that he is a different man today than he was back then. Amen. And Sharon, she was a member here back in 2013 through 15, and just But God's going, He took her away to help one of her daughters and then back to care for her parents, and I'm bringing you guys together. Just rejoicing at first, when I first heard she was getting together with Roger, it was like, really? Not the kind of guy I would recommend, but then I got to meet him again after that, after God had worked in his life. And yeah, praise God. I can totally see it, you know, and see what God has done in your life. So thank you for being, both all of you, being willing to share what God has done. And this is part of why we take the time to do this, because this is testimony of what only God can do, right? This isn't me. This isn't men doing this. This is God transforming hearts and minds through the power of the gospel. And we want to testify to that here today.
All right, Anne, I have one question for you. Do you believe that Jesus died for your sins and rose again?
Yes.
Okay. I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Pray in the likeness of death.
Believe in the likeness of the resurrection.
God is good, isn't he?
Yeah.
Amen. That's just awesome.
All right. I wanted to just today share a couple things. First off, what is church membership? A couple questions I'd like to answer as we talk about people that are joining the church. Why should we join? Or what is it? First off, it is the joining with other believers in local assembly for the purposes of growth and service. We are not a club where you pay in your dues, put your money in your plate, and you can expect certain things, right? The purpose is of serving together and growing together to be like Jesus Christ. So why become a church member if it's not something I'm getting out of it? And the second part of that is membership in a local church. First is we are expected to do this, right? You have the New Testament pattern of people joining the church, right? They're saved, baptized, and added to the church in the book of Acts. And then you have, like in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, the spirit baptism places you within the universal body of Christ. So water baptism should place you within the local body of Christ. And that's why 1 Corinthians 12, 27 says that we are members individually. And I think it's talking about local church membership. Also, Matthew 16, 18, that in and other areas where we are, Christ says, I will build my church. And it's our God's ordained way to work in this age. And that we are to be making disciples. And how can you do that except we are working together? So this should be all true believers joining together to grow to be like Christ, to become like Him, like Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, that we would help each other grow to be like Him. Speaking the truth to one another should help each other grow up to be like Christ, who is the head. And then Romans 12, 1 through 8, and 1 Peter 4, 10 through 11, 1 Corinthians 12, the spiritual gifts passages. If we are to use our spiritual gifts, where do you use them? It's to help one another. That's other Christians. So we should be doing this. God does not create Lone Ranger Christians where it's just you and God out there doing your thing, right? That's not how it works. He has intended us to be in relationship with Him and then with each other as Christians. And really, are we going to be following Him? In Hebrews 10, 22 through 25, right? Stirring up to love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. We have to be together to carry out those commands, helping each other. And as 1 Peter 5, you know, the one another's, right? Submitting to one another and all of those. Membership is a big part of that, right? It's part where you say, I'm not just me and I can do what I want. It's I'm going to care about others and think about them. So that's what we mean when we talk about church membership. Now, with that, I want to go on to talk about what's the next step. And that is where we should get growing in the Lord. You know, once you're baptized, the next step is, as Matthew 18 or 28 says, that we would teach to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the age, right? That the third major step of discipleship or becoming like Christ is learning to do what he calls us to, and that's growth, growing to be like Christ. And there's three, I just want to look at a little passage of scripture, 2 Peter 1, verses 2 through 11, and then just a quick overview here. But this is how we need to get growing in the Lord. And there's three steps to this. The first step being to access your resources. In verses 2 through 4, it says, and we just looked at this on Wednesday night, but it's grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. What Peter is saying here is that first we need lots of grace, right? You want grace and peace in your life, you want it multiplied, you need to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, right? That is saving faith. And as you come to know him, then you get to know him better. To know who Jesus is, what, you know, Ephesians 4 talks about them coming to know Christ, become like Christ. What does that look like? You got to get into the Word, which is why he says, to verse 3, that his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And as verse 4 explains, it's through his exceedingly great and precious promises. What are those? That's the Bible. And I love that he calls it the exceedingly great and precious promises. Think about promises like, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I mean, first and foremost, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the first great promise, right? If we trust in him, we are secure, we are saved from sin's damnation, rescued from eternity in hell, and given eternal life with Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Right? That's 101, Christianity 101, saving faith. And then that he will never leave or forsake us, that he will, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. My God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And the list goes on and on. And through the promises of the Word of God, that's the power of God giving us. You understand the story of the Bible and how we got the Word of God? The only explanation is God. Written over 1,400 year process, 40 some different authors. And they all agree. I mean, yes, there's minor things that we read in our Bibles today. And we're like, okay, how does that work? But the more you study it, the more you see, wow, that actually really makes sense. And one was talking about this, and one was talking about this. I mean, yes, we have our translations, and our translations have a few issues. But we keep studying, we keep learning, right? And we learn what God meant and the promises. And as we do, it enables us to escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. The world, as our desires take us to darker and darker places, destroy more and more of the good in this world. Starting in the Garden of Eden. And if we keep going down that road, it will corrupt us. The wages of sin is death. But it's through God and the promises of the Word that we can escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. You need to access your resources, though. That means you need to get into the Word of God. You need to start growing in it. It's like when I go to do a project at a camp or another place, I'm always paranoid and I want to have all the tools that I might need. My kids can attest to this. When we went to go move my brother-in-law, sister-in-law on Friday morning, and like half, you know, back of the van is all full of tools. I didn't use many of them, but I used, you know, at least I had them available. Right? You want to be able to access them. God has given us everything we need for life and godliness right here. But you got to access it. You got to use it. It means you need to get into the Word of God daily. Get into the Word of God as you come to church and in Bible studies. And, you know, both, as you heard, big part of the testimonies was Bible studies. Getting into the Word of God. It's not people changing you. It's God changing you through His Word. So that's the first step. The second step is to add to your faith in verses 5 through 7. Also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue to virtue, knowledge, knowledge, self-control, self-control, perseverance, perseverance, godliness, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. This is the step-by-step discipleship process. I love what Jim Berg says. This is God's plan for discipleship. Because if you're saved, your faith, you need to add to it. Virtue. Virtue is the idea of excellence, being convinced that Christ is worth it. And that's the first step. If you are not convinced Christ is worth it, you're not going to study the Word of God. But once you become convinced that Christ is worth it, you're going to say, I need to know more. What's the next step? Knowledge. You need to get into the Word and know what He's saying. But it's not enough to just know it. Peter or Paul says in 2 Corinthians, says, knowledge does what? Puffs up. If all you have is knowledge, you just get a big head. And we all know Christians like that. They know tons about their Bible, but you wouldn't want to work with them. You wouldn't want to work for them. You wouldn't want to be in, you know, hang out with them. Because they haven't really let it impact their lives. That's the next step, self-control, where you start to put in that knowledge into practice. You're starting to discipline yourself, controlling yourself based on the Word of God. But that's not enough either. Then you need to persevere in it. You need to keep doing it more and more. Stick with it. The next step, godliness. What's the goal? It's growing to be like God. But God isn't just concerned about this relationship. He's also concerned about this relationship, which is why the next one is brotherly kindness. Learning how to treat others right. Especially other Christians. And then the final capstone being love. Love as a choice, as God shows us through Christ. He loved us so much that He sent His Son to die for us. He demonstrated His love toward us while we were yet sinners. So you don't love people because of what you get out of it. You love people because God calls you to and because of what God has done for you. The love of Christ compels us, as 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15. Because we judge us so that one died for all and all died and all died so that we should no longer live for ourselves but for Him who died for us and rose again. And if you don't have love, what does 1 Corinthians 13 say? You have nothing. You could give your body to be burned and it'd be worthless if it's not motivated by love. There's going to be a lot of people on Judgment Day who say, Lord, Lord, we've done all these things in Your name. Cast out demons, done mighty works. And Jesus says, depart from Me, you who never knew Me, you who practice lawlessness. Because they didn't have love. They weren't really changed. Love shows that you've truly been changed. You're now responding in love to His love and loving in return. So it's adding to your faith, growing in those things. It's a bit like your engine. What is the one thing that you have to have in your engine for it to work? If you don't, it grinds to a halt. Oil. Right? I got a couple of vehicles. I got a vehicle that's got an oil leak right now. Like, where is it, right? And you don't want to let that go because it will ruin your engine. Love is to our spiritual growth what oil is to your car. And if you don't have it, then it's nothing. So add to your faith. And then last step, to avoid the dangers, verses 8 and 4 through 11. For if these things are yours and abound, you'll neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not that you're earning your salvation, but it's proving what has God done in your life already. It is the fruit, as he talks about He mixed the metaphors of fruits and reproduction, right? That you would have evidence that you truly know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because if you don't, you'll forget these things. Even if you were unsaved, you'll think of that. I remember as a 14-year-old, I was struggled with my salvation assurance. And it was this passage that God used in my life to say, you know what? You aren't growing. That's why you're struggling. And I prayed the prayer multiple times just to make sure. But it wasn't until I got growing in the Word and started showing fruit in my life that I gained confidence in my walk with God. So avoid these dangers of you know, that you would be barren, unfruitful, you're short-sighted, you forget that you're cleansed, you'd stumble. Instead, that you would have assurance of your salvation and then know that you have a reward that awaits you in heaven one day. Recently, driving home from New York, I had these thoughts, you know, you're speeding along 70 miles an hour and you got to pay attention, right? Because there's all sorts of dangers on the road today. Just ask a couple of our truckers, right? I mean, you know what it's like out there. Those of you, especially long trips, you have even more dangers. You start to get tired, you get hungry, you get distracted, kids are fighting in the back seat. That never happens. You know, all these pressures. And then there's the potholes. There's the roadkill. There's the stuff that falls off trucks or cars or whatever it is. There's construction. And you got to be constantly aware to avoid the dangers. So it is spiritually. Are you avoiding these dangers by getting into the Word of God, growing and seeing, gaining assurance as we grow to be like Christ? God wants us to grow to be like Christ. Do you understand how to do this? You know, to access your resources, to add to your faith, and to avoid the dangers. Are you growing to be like Christ? That is my challenge for you today. Get growing to be like Him.
All right, Diana, here's the certified that you've been baptized here today. So praise God. And Roger, it's yours. So ask Barry to pray, and then Ken will pray as well. And just remember, this is something that they've taken the next step in obedience. Every time you obey the Lord, there is opposition, though, too, from Satan, from the world. And we need to be praying for them that God would continue to encourage them in their walk with God and staying faithful with Him.
What an awesome day to have to come to church this morning and see two following believers' baptism and three added to the church. It just doesn't happen every Sunday, and what a blessing it is today. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the day that You've given us, Lord. We thank You that You did bring two believers' baptism this morning. May the honor and glory be to You, Lord, for that. We also thank that the three added to the membership. Lord, be with these three as they continue to walk in Your way. Give them guidance and direction and Your Word to help them along. And Lord, if it wasn't for Your Son on the cross, none of this would be possible. We just give You the honor, the glory, and the praise, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
And like Barry, I'm rejoicing. This is good. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. Thank You as we look back to the Lord, You're going to the cross for the joy that was set before You. You endured the cross. You endured the wrath of God upon You to pay for our sins. What a blessing, and what a something that we could not do that You've done. And we thank You for these three who, in their life, some nearer than, and some earlier in their lives, have come to You, that have accepted that salvation that You made possible. What a blessing that is. Father, I pray for us as a church that we help and support each other, support these three, support each other as we grow in You, as we grow to be more like Christ. And Father, help us, and we pray Your blessing on these three, especially for this time that they have come forward for membership, they've come forward for baptism. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, guys.
Amen. You guys can Here we see it. Actually, if you want to make your way to the side, we're going to close today by singing To God Be the Glory. It's just appropriate of what God has done, rejoicing in that. But if you're here today and you, number one, do not know Christ as your Savior, then I would challenge and urge you, trust in Him today. And if you want someone to walk with you through that, I would love to do that. And then secondly, if you, God's been convicting you of baptism, that you would be willing to take that next step. I'd love to walk with you through that as well. So again, both of those. And then encourage Diana, Roger, and Sharon. Welcome them into the membership. Make sure you shake their hand. But pray for them. Pray for them and rejoice at what God has done in their lives. So let's stand and sing, To God Be the Glory, Great Things He Has Done. We thank you and praise you for what you have done here today, and will continue to do. We give you the glory in Jesus' name.